Finance from Yanagida in IPMU Japan. And although we haven't submitted this paper yet, I think we can do it within a week. So let's get started. So today I'm talking about the model building of gauge mediation scenario in supersymmetry standard model. So as many of you know, the gauge mediation model is one of the most attractive framework of the MSSM, which is viable in phenomenological reasons. So the reason why many people are interested in gauge mediation is that since we use flavor-blind interaction to mediate Suzy breaking mechanisms, the resultant spectrum is flavor-blind, so we don't have infamous supersymmetric flavor efficiency problems. In addition, in principle, we can solve the Suzy CP problem at the same time. Of course, although it depends on how we solve the infamous mu and b mu term problems. And in addition to these features, we should remember that the gauge mediation scenario predicts the positive Sphelmion masses. Although it's not mentioned many times, but it is quite non-trivial feature. And for example, in the case of anomaly mediation scenario, Slepton masses are predicted to be tachyonic, so this feature is quite important in gauge mediation. And on top of these phenomenological reasons, the gauge mediation scenario is very attractive from the context of the cosmology. So as I will explain later, the scenario with gauge mediation with the gravity no mass in the order 1 electron volt range, the scenario can be consistent with the cosmology with very high reheating temperature. So for me, the last thing is very important. So although I said that the gauge mediation scenario is consistent with high reheating temperature cosmology, but the from the point of view of the model building of the gauge mediation with the gravity mass in the electron volt range is quite difficult. And there is an almost no-go theorem. And many activities of model building suffers from, for example, vacuum stability problem. So in many cases in gauge mediation, once we try to construct a model with gravity whose mass is in the electron volt range, end up with the existence of color or electroweak symmetry breaking vacuum in the vicinity of the vacuum we are considering, or we also have supersymmetric vacuum in the vicinity of the vacuum we want to use. Then, in many cases, the vacuum we are considering is actually unstable, and it end up with it decays into this unwanted vacuum, so it causes a lot of problem. And in other cases, we also have suppressed gauge masses compared with the naively expected masses in the gauge mediation scenarios. So once when we try to construct a model with very light gravity, we have this kind of problem. And it means that for a given gravity mass, the predicted gauge mass is suppressed than naive expectation. And since we have rather stringent constraints on Wiener mass from Tevatron, it means that we need to push up the Suzy breaking scale, which means that there is a lower bound on gravity mass, and it has been already shown that the gravity mass in several electron volts is already excluded by Tevatron constraints. I will explain those things later. And in other cases, we could have models without these two problems, but in that case, many models end up with the Landau-Pohl problems of the MSSM gauge coupling constants. Since the perturbative coupling unification of the MSSM is one of the greatest motivation of the gauge supersymmetric standard model, so the final problem is also the big problem for us. So today, I'd like to explain our proposal in which the gravity mass can be in the electron volt range, and the model does not have any vacuum stability problem or suppressed gauge mass problem nor Landau-Pohl problems. So this is today's my topic. So here are the contents of my talk. So first, before going to explain my proposal, I will explain about the cosmological gravity problem in the case of stable gravity case. Then after that, I will explain how difficult to construct a model of gauge mediation with the gravity no mass in the electron volt range. And I show that there is an almost no Gaussian limb. Then after that, I will explain my proposal, cascade supersymmetry breaking. And if I have time, I will also explain more ambitious possibility in our model. There, the conformal symmetry behind this our model plays some important role. Then I will summarize my talk at the end. So before going to explain my contents, I will explain some relevant parameters in the model. So in naively, in gauge mediation scenario, the supersymmetry breaking masses in the MSSM is expected to be like this. Do I have some pointer or some? Okay, great. Then, in gauge mediation naively, the supersymmetry breaking mass is coming from the radiative effect, so it's suppressed by loop factor, and the this soft mass is proportional to the Suji breaking scale, and it's suppressed by the messenger scale, because in gauge mediation, we generate this soft mass by integrating out the messenger field. Okay, then usually we assume that this soft mass is around TB. It means that this combination should be in the tens to hundreds TB range. So this is very basic important parameter. And in gauge mediations, by requiring that there's no tachyonic mode in messenger sector, we have an inequality between these two mass scales. So we need to have the messenger mass the messenger scale should be larger than the Suji breaking scale. And by combining these conditions, we obtain that there is a lower bound on Suji breaking scale. It's around 10 TeV. Of course, we could have very large scale Suji breaking by fixing this value. Then in that case, usually we consider the Suji breaking scale up to around 10 to 9 TeV or something. So this range is quite usual range in gauge mediation. On the other hand, we have another important parameter, gravity no mass. The gravity no mass is, on the other hand, given by the total Suji breaking scale divided by Planck scale, not the messenger scale. Then, by definition, since this means total Suji breaking scale, this Suji breaking scale should be larger or equal than the Suji breaking scale, which is relevant for gauge mediation scenario. So by remembering these numbers, 10 TeV to 10 to the 9 TeV, we obtain the range of the gravity in mass like this. So naively, in gauge mediation, it is possible to consider that the gauge in mass in the electron volt range to up to the about GeV range. Then see. So I didn't define explicitly, but we could have this one is relevant for the gauge mediation, and it could be smaller than the total Suji breaking scale. Does it make sense? So we could have some Suji breaking which is irrelevant for gauge mediation at the same time, although usually people don't do that. So if there's a sector, or if we have Suji breaking which is not coupled to the MSSM sector, we could have such Suji breaking sector as large as possible because it's not relevant to the resultant mediated mass. So without having explicit coupling, we could have any Suji breaking size. But even in that case, we still have gravity mediation effect, and we cannot kill this contribution. So if we have too large total Suji breaking, then such effect is mediated not by gauge mediation, but by gravity mediation. So it raises up the MSSM soft masses. So we want to avoid such possibility. That is why we have an upper bound on gravity no mass or this total Suji breaking. So a little bit complicated, but so So usually we consider gauge mediation in this range. And since we are considering that the other supersymmetric particles have mass in TB range, it means that the gravity in the gauge mediation, usually the gravitation is the lightest superparticle. And in usually, since we are considering R parity symmetric theory, this gravitation is stable. So it could be dark matter candidate. So this is usual. So finally, I translate the mass of the gravitino in terms of total Suji breaking size. Then once we put the order one electron volt here, then we find that the total Suji breaking scale should be in tens to hundreds TB range. Then as I said, since we have these conditions and there is a lower bound on this Suji breaking scale, it means that the order one electron volt gravitino mass almost saturates the lower bound. So it means that the gravitino mass in the electron volt range is realized for this degenerated mass, degenerate energy scale. So it is quite non-trivial to have this model because we need to have very compact model so that all the mass scales should be appear in this range. So this is a challenge. Okay, so first, let me briefly review the cosmological gravitino problems in the case of gauge mediation. So in gauge mediation, as I said, gravitino is the stable particle and could be the dark matter candidate. But the important feature of the cosmological aspect of gravitino is that the relic density of the gravitino depends on the reheating temperature of the universe after inflation. Okay? Then gravitino is produced from the thermal bath by mainly from this process. So in thermal bath, we have gluon in the thermal bath, and we also have gluon. Then it heats, and it generates gravitino. Then since this process is suppressed by Planck scale, because gravitino is a graviton partner, so the cross-section is not so high, so it is difficult for gravitino to be in the thermal equilibrium. So when the reheating temperature of the universe is less lower than this thermalizing temperature, then the relic density of the gravitino is proportional to the reheating temperature. Then once the reheating temperature of the universe gets higher than this thermalized temperature, then now the relic density is no more proportional to reheating temperature, and it saturates like this. So this is the relic density for a given gravitino mass. And so this is very important feature of the gravitino relic density. And this is the parameter space of the gravitino dark matter scenario. So here, the horizontal line corresponds to the gravitino mass, and the vertical line corresponds to the heating temperature of the universe. Then, as I said, for a given gravitino mass, the relic density gets higher when we take higher reheating temperature. And at some point, the relic density becomes consistent with the observed dark matter density. So on this line, relic density of the gravitino is consistent with the observed density. Then if we take the reheating temperature higher and higher, then the resultant reheating and relic density gets much larger than the one we observed today. So this region is inconsistent with observation. So this is a formula of the gravitino density. And when the reheating temperature is smaller than freezer's thermalized temperature, this line, then the relic density is given like this. So for example, if we take 10 MeV gravitino, then we need to require 10 to the 6 GeV so that we obtain the correct relic abundance. When the reheating temperature is higher than freezer temperature or thermalized temperature, then formula becomes different, and the relic density is given by this one. So from this result, what we find is that in this range of the gravitino mass, we need to tune the heating temperature so that we can have the consistent dark matter density. And the problem is that this required temperature is relatively lower than the usually considered baryogenesis scenario or something. And in many inflation models, reheating temperatures are usually higher than these numbers. So for me, it's not so attractive, this region. So also we can tune the lyric density by tuning reheating temperature. It's not perfect because once we consider some baryogenesis scenario, then those models can be inconsistent with each other. So this region is not so attractive for me. On the other hand, there is another constraint on dark matter, gravity in dark matter scenario. So when the gravity in dark matter, so when the mass of the gravity is lighter than 2 keV, then the gravity is no more cold dark matter, but the warm dark matter now. Then the warm dark matter erases the large-scale structure of the universe. So from the observation of the large-scale structure, the observation of large-scale structure puts some constraints on the relic density of such warm dark matter. Then from the detailed analysis, the gravity of dark matter contents with mass less than 2 keV should be less than 10% to the total dark matter density. Then by remembering this formula, this constraint says that the gravity mass should be smaller than 16 electron volt. This is a constraint from the large-scale structure. So this is a global map of the parameter space. Then, as I said, around this region, we can reproduce the observed dark matter density by tuning reheating temperature, but it's, for me, it looks a little bit low to be consistent with such as leptogenesis, which requires 10 to 9 GeV or something. And in this region, the model suffers from the warm dark matter problem. So although the density can be consistent, since the dark matter is not cold but warm, so the lyric density is too much compared with this constraint. So this red region is also excluded. Then finally, when the gravity mass becomes less than 16 electron volts, then there's no problem. And so since in this region there's no problem, I think it is quite interesting. And in this region, we can put the reheating temperature as high as possible. So this region is quite interesting. Okay. Besides, the future observation of the large-scale structure could see the effect of such warm dark matter with mass down to around 0.1 electron volt or something. So having considering the model with this gravity mass region could be very interesting, since we may see such effect in the future. Okay, so now let's move on to the model building. Here I reviewed how difficult to construct a model with such light gravity. Then the basic structure of gauge mediation is like this. Okay, we have to have surge breaking sector, and we should have surge breaking like this. Then such surge breaking effect is connected to the so-called messenger field. Here messenger fields are charged under the MSSM gauge groups. Then, by integrating out this messenger field, we end up with non-vanishing supersymmetry breaking effect in the MSSM. This mediation part is quite universal, and there's no big model difference, but the model difference comes in here. So there are a lot of ways to connect these two sectors. So there are very, very many papers on this, how to connect these two sectors. Then those possibility can be classified into roughly three groups. I will explain them. So first one is I named stable connection, and the other one is unstable connection, and the last possibility is the direct gauge mediation. Okay. Then, as I said, in order to realize the gravity and mass in the electron volt range, we need to have mass scales appearing in these models should be all in 10 to 100 TeV. So question is, how difficult to construct these three types of model with these mass parameters? This is the question. First, let me review about stable connection. In this case, in order to, so in usual case, once we connect these two sectors, then supersymmetry is restored. But in order to avoid those problems, we need to introduce at least two pairs of messengers. And this psi and psi bar is one pair, and psi prime and psi prime bar is the other pair. Then we have Suji breaking toy example here. Then Suji breaking effect is coupled to the messenger field through this one. Then they have mass term like this. Then the important point of this a little bit complicated model is that the determinant of the effective mass term of this sector is this sector doesn't depend on this Suji breaking field. It means that with this connection, we do not restore the supersymmetry. So this is very important point. But this important feature causes problem. So as I said, we have Suji breaking here. And although we couple Suji breaking field with messengers, this coupling does not cause any instability in the vacuum because determinant of the messenger doesn't depend on S. It means that the messengers are always heavy particles. But unfortunately, in this case, as derived by Giudice and Lattach, the leading gauge mass contribution in the gauge mediation comes from the derivative in terms of Suji breaking field of this effective gauge mass term.
The same one as the messenger scale, it doesn't matter, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
So, but what it says is that at least the gauge mass is suppressed, the leading order contribution is suppressed compared with the naive expectation. Okay? But as he said, if we take the messenger scale very low, gauge mass could be comparative to other masses. But from the detailed analysis, gravity mass in the electron volt range is not possible. So as I said, gauge mass now is suppressed compared with naive expectation. It means that for a given gravity mass, it means for a given total Suji breaking scale, the predicted gauge mass is rather suppressed. Okay? Then for example, if we fix gravity mass around 16 electron volt, then green mass and charge mass is on this line. Even if we change some parameters. So on this line, so for a given gravity mass, we have total Suji breaking scale. Sorry for confusing explanation. Okay, yeah. So for a given gravity mass, for example, if we take 16 electron volts, then we have 230 TeV here. But as I said, gauge mediation is smaller than this one, because there is an upper bound. So, and the leading order is suppressed than this is naive expectation of gauge mediation, but the predicted one is suppressed than this guy. So for a given gravity mass, predicted gauge mass is rather suppressed. And for example, if we take 60 electron volt, we have this line on this plot. Then this yellow region corresponds to the Tevatron constraint. So almost all the parameter region have been already excluded by Tevatron experiment. And if we take, for example, 5 electron volt or something, the line should be around here, so it's already excluded. And even, so of course, 16 volt electron volt is still consistent, but this region could be easily proven or disproved by the earlier LHC studies. So, but as I said, since the future large-scale structure observation could see the gravity down to several electron volts, so we want to have a model where the gravity mass is in such very low range, but the charge mass and the green mass could be higher than the Tevatron range. This is one thing. And the other possibility is unstable connection. In this case, model looks much simpler. And the Suji breaking effect is connected to the messenger field by this simple form. And we put mass term explicitly here. Then in this case, since the effective gauge mass term depends on Suji breaking field, so the leading order contribution to the gauge mass is not suppressed in this case. And the
determinant of messenger mass matrix is not dependent on S in this case.
It's, in this case, depend on S.
The different one.
different model. So this one is the next possibility. So first one is stable connection, and in this case, gauge mass is suppressed. So the result is like this. Then we have another possibility, this one. And in this case, since the determinant of the messenger mass depends on surge breaking field, we have non-vanishing gauge mass at the leading order. So it looks good, but unfortunately, if the messenger determinant of the messenger mass depends on S, it means that we have surge breaking, a supersymmetric vacuum like this. No, that's the problem. So this one is not the, this one is usually not a problem, but when we try to construct the old gravity mass in the electron volt range, then we have to take mass scales all in the same scale. Then it means that so we want to use this surge breaking vacuum, but as I said, in this model, there is a supersymmetric vacuum. And since the supersymmetric vacuum has lower energy than surge breaking vacuum, so this vacuum is unstable. And when we try to construct a model with the very light gravity, no, then all the mass scales are in the same range. So there's no small parameter in the model. So the lifetime of this vacuum is very short. So it easily decays. Well, in other words, in order to take the surge breaking a supersymmetric vacuum far away from this desirable vacuum, we need to have this messenger mass scale, messenger mass scale larger and larger, so that we can separate this unwanted mass. It means that so once we have large messenger scale, then for a given soft mass, we need to have larger surge breaking scale. It pushes up the gravity mass. So there is a tension between these parameters. And from the detailed analysis, for example, if we take gravity mass around 16 electron volt, then squawk mass is predicted to be lighter than 1 TeV. Then if we go to 5 electron volts, then the constraint becomes more stringent, and we have 500 GeV.
So successful radiation models, you need a stable...
Yeah, stable vacuum.
Let's see. Global minimum.
Yes.
Within the, including the messenger signal, the signal.
That's right.
But, yeah, leading order radiation mass is non-zero.
That's the point, yes. Exactly. Okay, so the final possibility is the so-called direct gauge mediation scenario. And this one, the basic structure of direct gauge mediation is that we use the global symmetry of some dynamical surge breaking sector as the MSSM gauge group. Then, since we want to use the global symmetry of the dynamical surge breaking sector, the dynamical surge breaking sector should have large gauge groups so that we still have asymptotic free dynamics. Then it means that we need to have large gauge groups to realize dynamical surge breaking scale with the global symmetry larger than the MSSM gauge group. Then the resultant effective number of messengers becomes very big. So once we take the very low scale messenger scale, around 10 to 100 TeV, then the model suffers from the Landau problems. This is a problem. So in summary, there is an enormous novel theorem. So as I said, there is a stable connection scenario and unstable and direct mediation. In the case of stable connection, we have gauge mass suppressed. And for our purpose, this suppression is quite important. And we don't have much room for this model anymore. As for the unstable connection, although we have unsuppressed gauge mass, vacuum stability puts severe bound on gravity mass, so it's also difficult. And in the case of direct mediation, we cannot realize perturbative unification, so it loses motivation. So there is an almost no go theorem. Okay, so this
about is... How about improving the Kera potential?
That's the point, yeah. So in our case, we make the model more complicated, sorry about that, but anyway, we did. Then we introduce this secondary surge breaking sector. So previously, we only have this sector and messenger sector, but we have this new sector. Then the point is that the supersymmetry is broken in this sector, as I used in the previous case. But we have this new sector, and we require that this sector has supersymmetric vacuum in the limit of the vanishing connection between these two guys, then we connect these two guys by using higher order operator in the scalar potential. I will explain later. Okay? Then, with this connect, so let me explain this model by using some toy example. This is toy, so it's not perfect. But anyway, we put this connection by hand. Then we have Suji breaking sector, and we name this sector secondary sector. Sorry for getting complicated. And we connect this Suji breaking, secondary Suji breaking field to the messenger field. Then, as I required, S is spurion, but I will explain dynamical model later. Okay? Then, okay, so as I required, this primary sector does not have supersymmetric vacuum, and the supersymmetry is always broken. Then secondary sector has Suji vacuum by solving this F-term condition here. And in this case, this X does not have any wave here in the limit of the vanishing connection. I mean, when the connection term is vanishing, then we have Suji supersymmetric vacuum here. Then once the supersymmetry is broken in the primary sector, through this scalar potential, this secondary field gets non-vanishing soft mass, Suji breaking mass. So this black line shows the supersymmetric potential of this, this secondary model. And with this non-vanishing connection, we have some Suji breaking perturbation to this model. Then we shift the vacuum value by this value. Then we obtain non-vanishing Suji breaking effect in the secondary sector. And so this is the mechanism. Then once we have non-vanishing F-term to this X secondary field, then by integrating out this messenger field, we obtain non-vanishing MSSM field.
X get the
F
component.
Yes.
The first S is a spurion, and then scalar contribution,
some
interaction generate.
That's right.
F component X.
Yes.
And then you release the standard
gauge mediation. That's right. So then, since the messenger mass depends on this Suji breaking X, so we have unsuppressed gauge inner mass. And since we do not directly couple this guy to the primary Suji breaking field S, so there's no supersymmetry restoration in this model.
So you mean global minimum?
So Suji breaking minimum should be global minimum, even if we add this interaction term. Okay? I will explain more by using more complicated but dynamical model. So, okay, so let me summarize this cascade Suji breaking model. So we have primary Suji breaking field and secondary Suji breaking field, and we have Suji breaking here, and we have supersymmetric vacuum from here. Then these two sectors are connected by this scalar potential. Then by taking all the mass scales around 10 to 100 TV range with for the one couplings, we have everything in this scale, so we can realize the gauge mediation model with gravity no mass in the electron volt range, and the gauge inner mass is not suppressed in this case. Okay, so this is our proposal, but this toy model is not perfect. And first thing is that this toy model is not generic under symmetry. So for example, S could also couple to psi and psi bar, because X is here, it means that we cannot have different symmetry to these guys, so we have to have, some reason to kill them. Or well, other problem is that
S and X has same quantum number?
In this toy example.
Okay, then you can take a rotation of S and X.
Yeah, for example.
And then you can make it only one of them can mm-hmm. get the F
component. Then we have S, X coupling here. Okay. So there's no way to come up with this model. So, okay, then. And the other problem is that, although I didn't say, but there is other color breaking vacuum in this model. I mean, once we consider the F-term condition of X, then psi and psi bar can condensate into this guy. So this one is also a big problem. And more than that, realizing this connection in the order of unit is quite difficult, and it requires some strong dynamics. So question is that Is there any viable UV completion model of this idea? So this is the main topic of my talk. Okay, so this is the model. So it looks very fancy. Sorry for that. So our model based on SPM3 times SU for gauge.
Why did you choose this?
So we can replace this part later. But for example, we took this one. I will explain it. And this SU form is, I think, crucial. But anyway, we have these two gauge interactions, and we introduce four kinds of fields, Q, S, F, and R. Then Q and S are in the primary Suji breaking sector, and F and F bar is in the secondary sector. Then this R and R are the origin of the connection term in the Kähler potential. So under the SPMC, Q and R are charged, and under the SU4, F and R are charged. Then we introduced five flavors of this F. Then the Lagrangian is quite simple. We just start from this simple Lagrangian. We have the minimal Kähler potential, and we have this denormalizable interaction with mass term. Here, MR and MF are masses of these guys. Then under symmetry, this Lagrangian is generic at the renormalizable level. There's no way to have extra terms at the renormalizable level. So although we have a lot of fields, model looks very simple. Then eventually, since I introduced five flavors of F, so we embed the MSSM gauge groups into the SU5 global symmetry of this secondary sector. Okay. Then I will explain these sectors step by step. So first, let me explain about the primary sector. Then as I required, the primary sector shouldn't have supersymmetric vacuum, and this model is something like that. So this model is well-known model by Izawa Yanagida and Intrigator Thomas. And so now our primary sector is SPMC gauge theory with four fundamental representation QI and six singlet field SIJ. Then I have introduced this Yukawa coupling. Then from the F term condition of this S, we require that this combination should be vanishing, but at the same time, from the SPMC dynamics, there is no constraint on the vacuum expectation value of these Qs. This is path form. Then since these supersymmetric conditions are contradict with each other, it means that the supersymmetry is broken in this model. And it is known that this sector doesn't have supersymmetric vacuum at all. And in most cases, in this model, supersymmetry is broken by the F-term condensation of one of S, like this. So it's proportional to the dynamical scale of this SPM dynamics. So this model is very good model. Of course, we can replace this model to any Suji breaking model, but for the simplicity, we assume this model. So anyway, now we learned that in the primary sector, we don't have supersymmetric vacuum, and supersymmetry is always broken. So now let me explain about the secondary sector. In secondary sector, we have SU4 gauge theory with five flavors, and we put the explicit master. Then, below the dynamical scale of SU4, this model is known, this model known to show an S confinement, so-called, and the non-perturbative potential is generated like this. Here, M is a meson field out of F and F1, and B and B bar are variant fields out of this fundamental F.
So SU4 sector also strongly coupled.
I will put that into that region.
Is this model is calculable?
No, but we can estimate. Okay. So then, in terms of SU5 global symmetry of this one, since we had five flavors, the model has SU5 global symmetry, then this meson can be decomposed into SU5 adjoint and singlet fields. Then, by picking up the terms for relevant in singlet potential, we have this one. This x to the fifth order comes from this dynamical potential, then it looks like the cascade supersymmetry breaking model I explained. Then, as I said, this model has supersymmetric vacuum around here by solving external condition of this one. So in the limit of the vanishing connection, this model has supersymmetric vacuum with vanishing vector. And the important point of this model is that the, in the limit of vanishing connection, we don't have any supersymmetric. Sorry about that. Vanishing connection, I said, was the So in the limit of vanishing connection, yeah. Okay, sorry for my bad terminology. Then in this model, there's no supersymmetric SU5 breaking. So this is a very good point, but whatever. Then last, finally, I explain about how to connect these two sectors. As I said, I introduced bifundamental representation of SPMC times SU for gauge dynamics, where R and R bar are charged under both gauge theories with mass. Then by integrating out this one, then through this kind of diagram, for loop, 1, 2, 3, 4 loop, we obtain this connection. Okay? Then when the gauge interactions are strong enough, when we integrate out this one, then we could have order one coupling. So that's the mechanism. Okay, although it's not calculable, but it's not relevant for us. Okay?
Yeah, so you use the gauge interaction twice.
Yes. Okay. So now put all the sectors together, we have this simple minimal Keller potential with simple normalizable model. And it's based on SPMC times SU4 gauge interaction. And eventually we embed the MSSM gauge groups into the SU5 global symmetry of this F sector. The important point is that this Lagrangian is generic under symmetries at a renormalizable level. Then, for example, of course, we can do some parameter study, but for example, in the simplest case, if the mass of F is lighter than the other mass parameters, then we can integrate out all the heavy modes in SPNC and SU4, and we end up with this simple, this familiar Lagrangian. So this is nothing but the cascade supersymmetry breaking I introduced. So this connection comes from the integrating out this guy. And this one comes from the SPNC dynamics. And this one comes from the mass term I put explicitly. And this one comes from the dynamical potential. So in this way, we can realize the cascade supersymmetric breaking model from the dynamical model. OK. The interesting point of this model is that even the connection between secondary sector and the messenger fields are also generated dynamically, so we don't need to introduce those coupling by hand. And that is the reason why we don't have supersymmetry SU5 breaking vacuum in this model. But it's detailed. So let me repeat the mechanism. Then once we have this connection term, then again, supersymmetric potential means perturbed by the effect of the Suji breaking in the primary sector is this blue soft potential. Then we have the vacuum expectation volume of the secondary sector is shifted. Then we end up with non-vanishing nectar. Then since this secondary field couples to messenger field here, M tilde means the adjoint part of the composite field M. And we also have coupling to the variant like this. Then through this coupling, through the usual gauge mediation mechanism, we obtain gauge in the mass and scope masses. Then since the masses of these composite fields explicitly depends on secondary fields, we obtain non-vanishing gauge in the mass. So this is a good point. Then, in order to realize the gravity of mass in the electron volt range, we needed to take the old mass scale in this range. Okay, then in this dynamical model, we can realize these parameters by taking this MR and dynamical scales in this range with order one car coupling, then we obtain that message, this parameter in our model. So in our model, we tune like this, then we end up with this one. So we can have the model with model of gauge mediation with the gravity and mass in the electron volt range with unsuppressed gauge and mass. And as for the other problems, since this model has no fully supersymmetric vacuum, because supersymmetry is always broken by the primary sector, so we don't need to worry about the vacuum decaying into a supersymmetric vacuum. So this is a good point. And as for the lambda 4 problems, in terms of SU4, we have only four messengers, because I use SU4. Where did I say so? So F is SU, fundamental lambda SU4. So in terms of SU5 global symmetries, we introduced four flavors. And okay, so we have only four flavors. So messenger number four is low enough to avoid the lambda four problems. So we can also solve this problem. So this is a summary of our mechanism. So in contrast to these previous ideas, in our model, gauge mass is unsuppressed, and vacuum stability is not a problem, and perturbative unification is possible. So this is our idea. Okay. But the, do I have time? A little bit? Okay. So the final question is that I put these mass scales to here by hand. Okay. So in order to realize the right enough kg no mass, we need to these parameters. And to realize this one in our model, we need to tune parameters like this so that all the mass scales and dynamical scales are in the same order. Then question is how to explain this relation. Then interestingly, in our model, in the limit of vanishing masses, the model has an infrared fixed point with non-trivial coupling. We have two gauge coupling and one UCAR coupling, and we find that there is an IR fixed point in this model, including everything. So okay.
So RMF means that the dynamical scale goes zero?
No, yes, in a sense. Or
no, that means that there is no strong interaction.
That's right. Yes, so if we put vanishing mass, then the model doesn't show any Tsuji breaking dynamically because there's no dynamical scale. But in our case, we put non-vanishing masses at the end. So, okay, let me explain. So if we put the massless limit, then model has IR fixed point. Okay, then it means that the gauge couplings flow into their IR fixed points at low energy like this. Okay, then eventually in our realistic model, we have non-vanishing MR. So conformal symmetry is disturbed by this mass term. Okay? So what we are assuming is that at the very high energy scale, the coupling constants are close to this fixed point, for example, around here or something. Then once we evolve down the renormalization group, then it's close to fixed point. Then it's on this fixed point values. They are on these fixed point values. But in reality, we had mass down. Then when the renormalization scale close to this mass term, we cannot ignore the mass effect. Okay? Then those mass term disturb the conformal symmetry. Then we can now integrate out, for example, ours. I introduced this guy. When we see the mass effect, we can integrate this one out. Then model flows into our model, cascade supersymmetric breaking model, because once we see this mass effect, theory is no more conformal symmetric, then model flows into strong dynamical models. So in this way, we can relate this mass parameter to other two dynamical scales. Okay? Then once these couplings are strong enough, then dynamical scales and this part of conformal breaking mass could be very close, because if the coupling is strong enough, then it immediately includes strong dynamics.
Is this a generic feature for the assuming a conformal symmetry in a UV?
No, it's not generic.
Let's see, there is a several gauge coupling, mm-hmm. and then at the UV level, there is a conformal symmetry, mm-hmm. and then at some scale, conformal symmetry is broken,
yeah.
then the gauge coupling starts running.
Yes.
But the beginning of the initial, initial value is the same, then goes to the same dynamical value.
No, but the point is that the then we can explain this feature if those couplings are strong enough on the IR fixed point. If the strong, if coupling is strong enough, then the relation between this MR and the dynamical scale of each gauge interaction could be order one. So in this way we can realize, but it's complicated, so maybe you can forget about it. But interestingly, we can analyze the anomalous dimension of the IR fixed point, and we find that actually by taking the value of Nc equal 2 or 3, we find that the on the IR fixed point, theory is strongly coupling. So by using this mechanism, we may explain why these three independent mass scales could be in the similar region. This is the, maybe a little bit ambitious, but the interesting possibility behind our model. Okay, so let me summarize my talk. So as I explained, the model with the gravity and mass in the electron volt range is particularly interesting because there's no cosmological and astrophysical problem. And future large scale observation may probe the gravity and mass, gravity and dark matter effect with a mass down to the sub electron volt range. So this could be very interesting. But as I explained, traditional model building suffers from these three problems. So suppressed gauge and mass problem, or vacuum stability problem, or lambda pole problem. Then in our model, those model, those problems are solved by separating the primary Suji breaking sector from the messenger sector. Also, we haven't considered carefully the collider signals, but I think the most striking one is that the, as I said, since the gravity node is very light, the decay of NL spin is very fast. So the most important signal of our scenario could be missing energy with hard photon pair event. But since we are using very strong couplings, it is quite difficult to analyze mass spectra in very detail. So maybe it is almost impossible to single out our model by only using collider signals. But as I said, since the large scale structure observation could see an effect of very light gravity, also by using some interplay between LHC study and the observation of large scale structure, our model could be very important possibility. So that's all for today. Thank you very much.
Questions?
Yes?
So since you make the gravity mass so light, your relative density becomes
yes, so it cannot
becomes
be
completely fixed because it's only given by the gravity mass.
That's right.
So so you're losing your dominant dark matter kinetic.
So yes, but the
so how can you ensure then the stability of your real dark or
so yeah. In the interesting point is that the, in order to realize the light gravity, you know, we have to have this scale. We have to have dynamics this scale. Okay? Then, since we have a lot of particles in this model, so the composite field of this strong, of this complicated, so what I want to say is that the out of with a lot of particle, we could have some stable particle with mass in tens to hundreds TeV range. Then since dynamics are strongly coupled, the annihilation cross-section of them expect to saturate the unitarity limit. Then the dark matter with mass in this range, whose annihilation cross-section is almost saturating the unitarity limit, is constant. Yes. So from the Kamion-Konsky paper, we see that the once the such kind of heavy dark matter saturates the unitarity limit, the relic density could be consistent with current dark matter density. So actually, in our case, I think I put some So yeah, so in our model, we have this composite field, and this is completely stable. And it is difficult to make them unstable, even if we put a lot of higher dimensional operator. And this one could be the very interesting dark matter candidate. And the peric density is almost automatically satisfied the current observation, because they feel strong dynamics, and a strong so stable particle with mass in this range a good dark matter candidate if they annihilate through strong interaction. This is generic idea. So in our case, it works because they are also in this range. So this is our solution to dark matter.
Any other questions?
Your vacuum is Gruber minimum? Gruber minimum? Vacuum is?
We can't calculate. But as long as the connection is a little bit suppressed, we can say that it's global minimum.
Okay, then global. So
there's no fear that the phase transition.